Hello and welcome to another episode in the Naxos Sounds Interesting series, an engaging potpourri of musical topics. This episode is called You Ditty Rats. The Brothers Grimm cited the date as the 26th of June, 1284. Robert Browning, the 19th century English poet, gave the 22nd of July, 1376. Different dates, same event, namely the occasion when the Pied Piper, cheated of his promised reward for clearing the German town of Hamelin of its infestation of rats, led the children of the town away and into a mountainous cavern, never to be seen again. Here's how Browning's famous poem begins. Hamelin towns in Brunswick, by famous Hanover city, the river Weser, deep and wide, washes its wall on the southern side, a pleasanter spot you never spied. But when begins my ditty, almost 500 years ago, to see the townsfolk suffer so, from vermin was a pity. In 1990, the American composer Robert Jaeger set an adaptation of Browning's poem to music in his work The Pied Piper of Hamelin. Using a full orchestra and narrator, the result is an entertaining tone poem in the truest sense, depicting the plague of vermin, the mayor's treachery, and the Pied Piper's revenge. The appearance of singing voices late in the work was intended to be performed falsetto by members of the orchestra, but on our recording, it's taken from an actual children's chorus. We pick up the action at the point of the Pied Piper's blow-up with the mayor and the children's exodus from the town.
So up to the mayor, who looked quite bewildered, went the piper for his 1,000 guilders. A 1,000 guilders! The mayor looked blue, and so did the people of Hamelin too. We saw with our eyes the vermin sink, and what's dead can't come back to life, I think. Besides, the plague has made us thrifty. 1,000 guilders? Come, take 50. The piper's face fell. How, cried the mayor, you threaten us, fellow? Do your worst. Blow your pipe until you burst. Once more, he stepped into the street. And played the notes that were so sweet. Out came the little boys and girls with rosy cheeks and flaxen curls and sparkling eyes and teeth like pearls. Tripping and skipping ran merrily after the wonderful music with shouting and laughter. The mayor was dumb and the people stood as if they were changed into blocks of wood, unable to move a step or cry to the children merrily skipping by. And to Koppelberg Hill his steps addressed, and after him the children pressed. Great was the joy in every breast, for he never will cross that mountain crest. But when they reached the mountainside, a wondrous portal opened wide. As if a cavern suddenly hollowed, the piper advanced, and the children followed. And deep in the mountain, all were swallowed. Alas. Alas, poor Hamlin. The mayor sent east, west, north, and south to offer the piper by word of mouth silver and gold to his heart's content if he'd only return the way he went. But they saw 'twas a lost endeavor. The piper and children had gone forever. So remember, dear friends, avoid the viper. Be honest and true, and always pay the piper.
Armed with their bags of poison, rat catchers in 17th century England apparently specialized in the treatment of venereal disease as well as the extermination of rodents. A strange symbiosis of talents, maybe. But they must have been a jolly fraternity, judging by this extract from The Famous Ratcatcher, a catchy street song of the time. The first three verses read as follows. There was a rare rat catcher, did about the country wander, the soundest blade of all his trade, or I should him deeply slander. Upon a pole he carried full 40 fulsome vermin, whose cursed lives, without any knives, to take he did determine. His talk was all of India, the voyage and the navy. What mice or rats or wild polecats, what stoats or weasels have ye?
There was a rare rat catcher, did about the country wander, the soundest blade of all his trade, or I should him deeply slander.
For still would he cry, a rat tat 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 ta ra rat rat tella.
Without any knives to take, he did determine.
For still would he cry, a rat tat 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 ta ra rat rat tella. To catch a mouse or to caress such a rat a mice or never.
His talk was all of India, the voyage and the navy. What mice or rats or wild polecats, what stoats or weasels have ye?
For still would he cry, a rat tat 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 ta ra rat rat tella.
Rat Riddles is the first of three songs written in 1930 and 1932 by the American composer Ruth Crawford Seeger, who died in 1953. It's scored for two groups of performers. The first comprises voice, oboe, percussion, and piano. The second, which is instructed to sit as far away from the first as possible, is made up of 13 other instrumentalists and takes the role of an ostinato. The song sets to music the words of a poem by Carl Sandburg that are obscurely intriguing. They are riddles, after all. It reads as follows. There was a grey rat looked at me with green eyes out of a rat hole. Hello, rat, I said. Is there any chance for me to get on to the language of the rats? And the green eyes blinked at me, blinked from a grey rat's rat hole. Come again, I said. Slip me a couple of riddles. There must be riddles among the rats. And the green eyes blinked at me, and a whisper came from the grey rat hole. Who do you think you are, and why is a rat? Where did you sleep last night? And why do you sneeze on Tuesdays? And why is the grave of a rat no deeper than the grave of a man? And the tail of a green-eyed rat whipped and was gone at a grey rat hole. Benjamin Britten composed Our Hunting Fathers in 1936 as a five-movement symphonic cycle for high voice and orchestra. Britten was 22 years old when he completed the work and confidently expressed in his diary entry that, quote, it was my opus one, all right. His optimism about the work, however, didn't gain traction with the general public, and it has languished as one of the most neglected of his major works. On the surface, the piece is concerned with man's relationship with animals, but the ferment in Europe at the time of its composition might suggest a subtext of man's relationship with man. The second movement is titled Rats Away. The orchestration portrays the creature's frantic scurrying while the soprano exorcist utters her commands amid vocal pyrotechnics. The anonymous text was modernized by W. H. Auden and reads as follows. I command all the rats that are here about, that none dwell in this place, within or without. Through the virtue of Jesus that Mary bore, whom all creatures must ever adore, and through the virtue of Mark, Matthew, Luke, and John, all four archangels that are as one, through the virtue of St. Gertrude that made clean, God grant in grace that no rats dwell in this place. That these names were uttered in and through the virtue of St. Cassie, that holy man who prayed to God Almighty, of the scathes they did, his meadows amid, by day and by night, God bid them flee and go out of every man's sight. Dominus, Deus, Sabaoth, Emmanuel, great name of God, deliver this place from rats and from all other shame. God save this place from all other wicked wights, both by days and by nights. Et in nomine Patris, et Filii, et Sancti Spiritus. Amen. We end with an example of where rats traditionally keep company with other animals, namely in the Chinese zodiac. That particular astrological system relates each year to an animal following a 12-year cycle, not a specific portion of the calendar year. If you were born in 1951, then that's a designated year of the rabbit, but a December birth date would label you a Sagittarian in the Western zodiac. The advantage is that you can choose to believe the astrological forecast that augurs better for you. The 12 animals are grouped into trines, sets of three, unified by similar traits. The trine of the rat, dragon, and monkey is described as extroverted, dynamic, and passionate. The Taiwanese composer Chia Yu captured the essence in the opening movement of her 12 signs for solo viola, titled Rat, through fast tempos, energy, and power. Thank you for tuning in to this Naxos Sounds Interesting podcast. For the text version, visit blog.naxos.com, where you'll also find an alternative audio series devoted exclusively to new releases from Naxos.